What's up, everybody? Happy Wednesday. Welcome to a brand new installment of the Cyclone Fanatic podcast at CycloneFanatic.com. Brought to you today by our friends down at Mr. B Clothing at 1995 Northwest 86th Street in gorgeous Clive, Iowa. The Cyclones are 0-1, but we could not be more excited to be podcasting with you today. I am sitting next to Matt Van Winkle producing the podcast. A couple of guests coming on today's program, Mr. B Clothing podcast, of course. Later on in the program, Sage Rosenfels, a friend of the podcast here, former Iowa State quarterback, former NFL quarterback, is rolling out a new website. He's been working on this for a while. I'm just being a football fan. I'm excited about this. Footballbyfootball.com. Footballbyfootball.com. Going to be published by our friend Sage Rosenfels. I want to talk to him about that. Also, Sage was in Ames on Saturday for Iowa State, North Dakota State. I want to pick his brain about what he saw from the Cyclones, specifically that Iowa State offense, where he's been very opinionated about it in the past. We'll pick Sage's mind. But before that, Trey Scott, formerly of AllCyclones.com, he is a friend of mine, and he left last week. He quits covering Iowa State. He goes down. He's now covering the Texas Longhorns. I knew that, and I knew we would probably want Trey on the program coming up at some point in time. However, I did not think that it would be in week two of the college football season, but I'm intrigued by what's going on in Texas. Texas beat up on the Fighting Dan McCarneys this past Saturday, and now they have lost their starting quarterback, David Ash, to yet another head injury. So we're going to pick Trey's brain about that as Texas has a big game coming up on Saturday against BYU, a team that really stuck it to the Longhorns a year ago. Charlie Strong and the boys have revenge on their minds, and I want to pick Trey's brain about the state of that Texas football team. We'll get into a few other Big 12 topics as well. All right, so let's get to Trey Scott, formerly of AllCyclones.com. He's now with the Texas 247 site. Trey, I don't want to butcher your guys' name. What's the actual name of the website you're working for now, so some Cyclone fans who followed your work here can continue to follow your work in the Big 12?
So I asked last night, and it's 24/7.
Oh, it's 24/7. So don't do 247.
I even yesterday was saying, "Hey, I'm Trey with 247," and then I asked someone, and they're like, no, it's 24.
So. Okay, well, that's good. So is it just like texas.247.com? Is that it?
I think so, but I think they call it Horns 24/7.
Okay. Well, congratulations. I know last week when you were on the podcast with us, you you couldn't tell us what you were doing, but it's a neat deal. I'm happy for you. We wish you were around Central Iowa, but you get to cover your alma mater. You're back home. Literally living in your hometown again. Neat opportunity for you. Congratulations, bud.
Thanks, Chris. I appreciate that.
Well, let's talk again. I told you last week that I was going to invite you back on the podcast. However, I did not think it would be a week later. But I think Big 12-wise, when you look ahead to the upcoming week in Iowa State, Kansas State's intriguing only because it's an actual league game in week two. But I think the big story league-wide is the Texas Longhorns. And not only do you guys have BYU coming to town on Saturday, a team that really, frankly made Texas look bad. That was the beginning of the end for Mac Brown, yeah. And I felt like Texas's defense was unbelievable on Saturday against the Fighting Dan McCarneys. But now, I mean, you guys lose David Ash. What's the mood like down there? Because that's a critical member of the football team, obviously.
They're staying upbeat. The players say they're sort of galvanized by all this. It's so unfortunate, though. I mean, that's three head traumas for Ash his last fall. I don't know if he'll ever play again. So now you have Tyrone Sloops. And, Chris, you know all the, well, Mac offered this guy as a safety, and Mac didn't go for this guy. I think you're going to see the same thing play out with Sloops, who is purely a Mac take, because you have guys in his class like Kenny Hill at A&M, and JT Barrett at Ohio State, who are Texas kids, who the Longhorns did not look at in Sloops' class.
Mm-hmm.
So this could go one of two ways. Either Sloops is really good, or he's not, and this is a big problem. And if he's not, then you have Jerron Hurd, who's good. But it's just, gosh, I mean, driving back, I didn't get to watch the Iowa State game, but I was listening to it. I kind of felt for you guys because,
yeah.
I mean, it sucks. You spend spend all off season talking about a team and getting excited to write about them, and
yeah,
and then they lose a game like that, and I know exactly what the fan base is going to do, and I'm thinking, well, you know, it's probably not the worst thing in the world to get out of that. And then Monday morning, Texas announces that its starting quarterback and starting center is probably out for the year.
I didn't realize that Texas had lost its starting center too.
Yeah, Espinosa. He's fractured his ankle.
Man, so Swoops is a guy who I remember this last year when Texas came into Iowa State. He was a guy who it seemed like was the hot buzz, you know, around Texas. It seemed like some people were already down on David Ash, and Swoops was a guy who a lot of people wanted to see. I don't have a very accurate temperature on that fan base. I will now that you're covering the team. I'll follow the fan base a little more, I would think. But is he kind of lost his fizzle? Is Tyrone Swoops not the hot prospect that Texas fans once thought that he was?
I think so. And what happened was his junior year, he comes from a very small 2A Texas football town. His junior year, he was a big-time recruit. And his senior year, by the time his team went, I think, 1-9 or 2-9, and he had gone into all the camps, all the recruiting guys eventually figured out he wasn't the next Vince Young.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, his stock has begun to drop a little bit. And so you combine that with the fact that Texas got a five-star dual-threat quarterback, Jerod Hurd, from Denton Geyer, produced J.W. Walsh in this recruiting class, and he's a true freshman right now, sitting in the wings. I think that's all combined for Texas fans to kind of feel like Hurd could be the future instead of Swoops.
Well, so Texas had already taken a hit, though, with the offseason. It seemed like right when we all got back from Dallas, Charlie Strong kicked like half of his team off the roster. So now you lose your quarterback, and now you lose your center. Is this – I think this was a deal where at one point in the offseason, some people thought, you know, hey, if things go perfectly, if things go really well, Texas can have an outside shot to win the Big 12. Clearly, folks are not in that mindset right now. At this point, Trey, knowing what you know, what would a good season be? What would an acceptable season be for the Texas Longhorns?
I think right now the goal needs to be 7-5, and that won't be acceptable for a first-year head coach. But I think the realistic fans can understand that without a quarterback and without a center and with the depth issues that Texas has suffered this offseason, I mean, that has to be the goal. Like, you look at their schedule, and they got BYU Saturday, and they have UCLA on the 13th, you know, OU in Dallas. And mm-hmm. It's just, I mean, there's some winnable games, but they have to go to Lawrence. I mean, they have to go to Lawrence, Manhattan, Lubbock. Texas fans are really going to have to temper their expectations.
What did you think about the Iowa State game? I don't know if you've gotten to watch it or not, but before we let you go, I wanted to get your mind – get your take on that. I tell you what, Trey, in that first quarter, buddy, it was everything I think everybody, like a best-case scenario, thought that offense could be.
Yeah.
They looked sharp, even without Quentin Bundridge. Quentin Bundridge wasn't even in the game, and they were moving the football consistently. The line, I thought, looked great. Sam Richardson looked sharp. And I tell you what, man, they lost Farniok, and it was a total 180. I mean, they went from, like, a good offense to a pretty inadequate one. What was your overall – first of all, did you get to watch the game? And if not, I mean, just what do you think when you saw that final score?
Did not get to watch it, but had it on the radio the entire time. Somehow got it all the way through, like, Lawrence, Kansas. And I was with my buddy in the first, you know, the first quarter. We were like, wow, you know, this team's going to compete. And he was – I mean, this guy, he's from Texas. He doesn't know much about Iowa State, but he was kind of looking up the stats from all the skill players from last year, you know, Bibbs and Bundridge before he got hurt, and he knew about Lazard, and he was like, wow, I mean, this team is going to surprise people. And then just from listening to it, it just became clear that the momentum shifted with that 80-yard touchdown run,
mm-hmm.
and then the defense couldn't stop anyone. I mean, what was – Chris, what was – I'll flip it. Kind of what's been the reaction this week from not only the fans but the, you know, Iowa State coaches and players?
The fans, it's been a total dumpster fire, man. It's
oh,
yeah, it's no, I'm not kidding. Football wise, it's as bad as I've ever seen it. And I know, I mean, a lot. The vocal minority is always the loudest on a message board, and they don't.
Sure.
I don't think the message board crew always represents what I would consider the entire fan base. But I think you can get a good gauge, and it's from that it's as bad as I've ever seen it with football. I also think that, I mean, if there's any sort of a hope, it's Mangino, and that, you know, they're going to get better. It's just I don't know how much better. I don't know if they can get enough better to compensate for the defense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The coaches, though, I mean, I think Paul Rhodes is at the point where he realizes it doesn't matter what he says. It frankly does not matter until he wins games. And
yeah,
that's the only way he's going to quiet the venom. You know, that's the only way that this thing gets better is you just have to win games. I mean, even if they lose to Kansas State by a touchdown, which I think at this point would be a nice little moral victory for most people, but it's not going to matter. Like, the pitchforks are starting to come out, unfortunately, for Paul Rhodes. And right or wrong, I'm just telling you what I'm seeing.
Sure.
with the message board, that's where it's at. I don't feel like that with the coaches, though. I feel like Mark Mangino, after Tuesday's practice, I was fairly encouraged by what I saw with his interview. I wasn't there, but Rob Gray was for Cyclone Fanatic. And they'll get better. It's just, again, I don't know. And how much better do they have to get to win in the Big 12? That's my question. That's kind of where I'm at right now.
Well, you get to the point where you start, you know, looking at the box score, and I guess by watching it too, if I had watched it, you start to – we talked last week about how I thought they could win. Oh, my gosh, I thought they could win six games. And you start to look at the games now, and if the defense is going to play like that, you really begin to start scratching your head and trying to find, you know, and it gets tough to find three.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and especially when, you know, a team like Toledo scored 54 points in its opener.
Jeez.
I mean, they weren't playing anybody, but they scored 54 points. That's nothing to laugh at, I don't think, if you're an Iowa State fan. One other Big 12 question for you, Trey, before we let you go. Trey Scott joins us from the Texas 24/7 site. Boy, I didn't see Oklahoma State or West Virginia playing as well as they did, especially Oklahoma State. That was, to me, you know, West Virginia played well against Alabama, but when I went back and watched it, I never felt like West Virginia was ever going to win the game. I thought it was a really nice effort. I thought for a while there that Oklahoma State might get the defending national champs. In your opinion, did Mike Gundy pull a fast one on us? I mean, a lot of people were thinking maybe 7-5 for that. That didn't look like a 7-5 team to me. That looks more like a 9-3, 10-2 type program. Where are you at on Oklahoma State?
Yeah, that looks like a Big 12 contender, man.
Yeah.
When Walsh is on, he might be the best quarterback in the conference when he's, you know, playing really well. And then I kind of already have a man crush on Tyreek Hill, that JUCO.
As you should, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that makes two of us.
So I guess Gundy's going to surprise people again. And they weren't supposed to be that great either last year, right?
Like, yeah.
Well,
and the defense, though, is what – I mean, they had to replace all those guys on defense, and, man, I mean, they, considering who they were playing on Saturday, one of the best quarterbacks we've seen in 15 years in college football, I mean, my God, I was blown away. I think Oklahoma State's I think you tabbed them as a contender. If I'm Oklahoma – all right now, Baylor, man, we got another dog in the fight. That's good for the Big 12, though. The Big 12 needed a couple of those teams to kind of step up. And if Texas isn't going to be it, we still don't know really about Kansas State. But I think the Big 12 needed another team like that to really throw its name in the hat. I don't know. I was very impressed by Oklahoma State. I didn't think that West Virginia or Oklahoma State would cover. I thought they were going to get killed on Saturday. That's good for the league, though. I think we talked last week, Trey. I know I pointed out that I thought the Big 12 might be just a little bit overrated just because I thought there were a bunch of good teams, not a lot of great teams. But I think Oklahoma State proved – I don't know if they can be a great team, but I think they can, you know, on the whole scheme of things, be quite a bit better than what we thought.
Yeah, Oklahoma State at the top, and then West Virginia at the least can kind of fortify the middle class, right? So instead of going 1-4 and then major drop-offs, you're going to have Texas and West Virginia at least being competitive.
Yeah. Well, and that's, again, not good news for Iowa State because West Virginia was a game that I had down as a win for the Cyclones. I had Iowa State the whole time. I've had them at 4-8, 5-7 type team. Best case scenario, no, if things really click, get them to 6-6 is kind of what I thought. But now it's like, geez. I mean, even Texas Tech, I don't think their defense is any good, but their offense is going to consistently score. I don't know if I can say the same about Iowa State after week one. Man, it's just week one. They'll get better, but, you know, it's a clones need to do something, buddy. Otherwise, I don't see this getting a whole lot better. They need to show something on Saturday.
Otherwise, you're going to be starting covering basketball like next week, right?
We've already talked about that. We've got some basketball interviews in the pipeline here at Cyclone Fanatics. So Trey, thanks for the talk again. So, of your prediction right now, though, Texas and BYU, the Horns are a 3.5-point favorite. I think this is the most intriguing game on the schedule this weekend from a Big 12 standpoint. Do you think Texas can squeak one out, or are you going with the Cougars?
Hopefully this interview doesn't get back down to Austin, but I'm going to go BYU.
Yeah.
Until, you know, you don't know what you have in Tyrone Spoops, and then Taysom Hill, the BYU stud. I don't know. I'm going to say BYU at this point.
I think I think it's a safer pick.
Absolutely.
I agree with you. Trey, thanks, man. We'll get you back on the podcast here in a few weeks. All right, buddy.
All right. Miss you guys.
All right. Bye. We miss you too, man. You stay cool down there in Austin. All right.
All right. Stay warm.
All right, we will. Trey Scott there from the Texas 24/7 site, formerly of Scout.com and AllCyclones.com. Again, and folks, this is what we want to do going forward on the Mr. B Clothing podcast, the podcast presented by the Iowa Clinic Men's Center on Tuesdays. We want to have more. We want this to be like your own little Big 12 Cyclone slanted radio show that you get nearly every day at CycloneFanatic.com. This is kind of the vision, so it's good to have Trey. It actually works out in our benefit to have Trey down there in Texas because he can kind of be our Big 12 South, if you may, insider. We've got some good connections down there, and we look forward to talking with him and other insiders from that area of the conference more often. We'll get to Sage Rosenfels here in just a little bit. One thing I did wanted to point out on the Mr. B Clothing podcast, there's a link up on our website, and I will, I'll effectively put it up on my Twitter feed too at Chris M. Williams after we get done recording. But Barry Trammell of the Daily Oklahoman, I think it's actually just called the Oklahoman, actually, wrote what I would call a fairly fascinating column on the Big 12 conference yesterday. So I've always been a pretty big advocate of, you know, the conference television networks like you're seeing everywhere. And Trammell, and rightfully so, they work. The Big 12 is a different animal, however, with Texas and its multi-million-dollar commitment, multi-year commitment to the Longhorn Network and ESPN. Well, Trammell caught up with Steve Weiberg from, well, the former Big 12 guru. He's the guy who got the Big Ten network going up. He's the guy who got the Pac-12 network launched. No, excuse me, I just called him Steve Weiberg. It's Kevin Weiberg. Excuse me there. Kevin Weiberg. But Trammell caught up with him to talk about, you know, the current state of the Big 12 is really, it's, in my opinion, it's fallen behind the eight ball in numerous ways. And maybe that's not even fair because a lot of people within the league will tell you, well, we have a better scenario because we play everybody and it feels more like a conference. And it, you know, per school, we're still making a lot of money, and they are. And Weiberg pointed that out. But I guess the concern I've always had is if you've got a 4-team playoff, which it sounds like it'll be for a while. I think eventually they will grow that when they realize how much money they're actually making and how much money they're losing by staying at 4 games. But, Trammell catches up with Weiberg to talk about how he tried to launch a Big 12 network back in the day when he was with the league, and the big dogs, which at the time were Texas, Nebraska, Oklahoma, were like, hey, no thanks. Remember those days. I mean, it wasn't that long ago when television revenue in the Big 12 was set up by where you got picked. So if you got picked for that 2:30 ABC game, you're going to get X amount of money. But if you didn't get picked up like Iowa State didn't a lot, you're not going to. And at the end of the year, you know, you'd have Texas making, I don't know, $20 million and Iowa State's making $7 million, and it was very unequal. So it didn't make a lot of sense for the Texas, Oklahomas, Nebraskas of the world to want to split everything up equally the way it is now. And back in the day, they did not want that league-wide network. Weiberg moves on builds networks at the Pac-12, at the Big Ten, and Trammell interviewed him about that. And I thought Weiberg took the high road and basically said, you know, the Big 12 is in a pretty good spot right now, which I think it is. But my whole deal is, well, what happens in 5-10 years when the Big 12 is still stuck on this contract and, you know, the SEC now has its SEC money and the Big 10's going to re-up. So then you're just behind the eight ball again like you were 10, 15 years ago. Not an encouraging read. I would put it that way for Big 12 football fans. But again, I'll throw that up on my Twitter feed at Chris M. Williams. It's floating around the Cyclone Fanatic forums right now. All right, let's move on. I want to talk to a friend of mine right now who just launched a new website. It is footballbyfootball.com. So let's bring on former Iowa State quarterback Sage Rosenfels to the Mr. B Clothing podcast at CycloneFanatic.com. Sage, I am currently on footballbyfootball.com, and I got to hand it to you. You told me about this idea. It sounded good, but now that I'm looking at it on my iPad, it looks even better. I just got done reading a column by Brady Quinn. He's got a column right now on rookie quarterbacks and Mr. Carr over there at Oakland. You had a great column yesterday on Johnny Rookie. A memo to Johnny Rookie is the headline on Johnny Manziel. This is a great idea, Sage. Footballbyfootball.com. Try and tell us what you're trying to accomplish with this thing.
Well, you know, since I've sort of been out of the game and you know, doing a lot of analysis work for radio, for TV, for, you know, things like this podcast and all sorts of things, you sort of realize that, you know, the media people out there, they really want the former players, the former coaches. They want their inside knowledge. You know, it's why every football game you watch, there's generally a former player's the color analyst, because he sort of has that knowledge. He's seen behind the curtain that, you know, the other people of the media haven't seen. And so, you know, people always wind up the sort of the inside scoop on what's really going on, and you know, I thought to myself, well, you know, everyone always sort of wants that. Why don't we just sort of own it ourselves and create our own website or our own company where the players are the media? And so, I met up with Matt Chatham at the Broadcast Boot Camp, who's actually from Sioux City, Iowa. Played at South Dakota State and played in the NFL for about 9 years. And he and I talked about it, and he had sort of a similar idea himself. And he's been out for a little bit longer than me, and he's fully entrenched in the media out in Boston. He does radio stuff and Big Ten Network stuff and sort of all over the map. And he and I sort of basically have built this website with some guys from Omaha who have, you know, sort of threw it together last week to build a real basic site. But, you know, we've organized about 10 or 12, and, you know, we never know if it's going to be 20 or 30 guys. We don't really know exactly how it's going to go. But guys who can write, and there's, you know, there's a lot of smart guys at the NFL. You know, football players a lot of times get a bad rap for, you know, not being the smartest guys, and there's their fair share of guys who aren't rocket scientists, but I also play with a lot of guys who are mechanical engineers and you know, business majors who are really, really smart guys who got their masters and those types of things. And so we've organized about 8 or 10 guys so far who want to write, you know, once a week or every couple weeks, and sometimes they're going to be 600 to 1,000 word articles, and we have this little thing called the locker room, which is sort of a 3 or 4 man answer to a sort of a daily question that's going to be running right now Monday through Friday. So, you know, the site's going to evolve, and then we hopefully get better. But at the end of the day, it's going to be, you know, sort of the inside scoop coming from players. It's going to be real authentic opinions, because, you know, we've seen behind the curtain, and we feel like we've got a little bit extra knowledge that people would really enjoy.
Yeah, and that, you mentioned how smart these guys were, and that's one of the things that I mean, I read 4 or 5 articles here in the first day that since you've launched it, and the writing's really, it's really well done. It's not like you said, it's not just like a bunch of jocks hanging out talking about football. I mean, it's very much what I would compare it to, like a Grantland type style of website, and how you guys are going about your business with a lot of opinion, but really, really smart writing. I mean, what are your plans for this website from in the near future, though? How much do you see it growing now that the football, the NFL season is starting? What is kind of the short-term plan and maybe your long-term vision?
Well, you know, we wanted to get it going for week 1 of the NFL season, and you know, we know as things you know, progress with the site, it's going to constantly evolve and change. And, you know, from a from a business model standpoint, obviously we'd love the site to have a ton of success and, you know, for it to get millions of hits and everything is hunky-dory. Next thing you know, we get a group of baseball guys who do baseball by baseball and some hockey guys who do hockey by hockey and that type of thing. So, but right now we're just, you know, focused on getting a couple articles out every day and getting guys edited. You know, it is a challenge that, obviously, as football players, not all of us are writers. I'm not really a writer. I've just sort of gotten into it the last year or so with some things with Peter King with Monday Morning Quarterback. But, you know, so there's some editing that goes along, and some guys are better than others. But at the end of the day, guys have some really good stories and really good insight, and it's just trying to find the ability to capture that in written form. And some guys are a little better than others at it. But, you know, we sort of edit it ourselves and do the best we can. We're not bringing hundreds of thousands of dollars in ad revenue or anything yet or subscriptions or anything. So right now we're just sort of doing ourselves organically and really enjoying it.
Sage Rosenfels, former Iowa State quarterback, former NFL quarterback, joins us here on the Cyclone Fanatic podcast. All right, Sage, enough of the fun stuff. I know you were in Ames on Saturday. We have to talk about Iowa State's 34-14 loss to North Dakota State. You've been fairly critical, I thought, of the offensive scheme for the last couple of years, and put the scoreboard aside. I'm curious as to what you saw with that Mark Mangino-led offense for Iowa State. And basically, my question is, Iowa State's 0-1, just lost to an FCS team. The fan base is disgruntled, obviously. From what you saw from the offense, is there a reason for hope that that's going to, you know, continue to evolve and potentially Iowa State can win some football games this year?
I do think it would get better. You know, I really watched that. I watched that game from the end zone. I was up in the Jacobson Zone and watched that game. And you get a great feel for the scheme and what the line's doing and what the quarterback's reads are, you know, from that angle. It's actually, in some ways, for a quarterback, it's a much better seat than sitting at the 50-yard line, because I can actually, you know, see the angles and see what everyone's trying to do. And defensively, it's sort of the view that I was used to for the last 17 years. But, you know, I like what Mangino does. You know, they scored 14 points the first quarter and got shot the rest of the way, which is really disappointing. But it seems like to me the things that they do are very sound and they're creative, and I think they'll put the quarterback in the best situation to be successful. So they just got to execute and, you know, not get too greedy. And, you know, turnovers really cost them in that game, a couple tip balls and those types of things. So. But I did like what Mangino was doing. The things I could tell what he was trying to do, where sometimes in the past I didn't always know, you know, what was the case of what the quarterback's read was supposed to be. But I could tell what Sam Richardson was trying to do offensively, and it just didn't seem like the execution was just quite there on Saturday.
What did you think of Sam Richardson's play individually overall? And maybe if you can think back to last year, compare, is he a better quarterback right now, and where is his ceiling at this year?
I think he is. I think he's a better quarterback. I think the scheme is much better for him. I just think that the turnovers really got him in the game.
Yeah.
You know, I think that he did some really good things offensively. I mean, some of the throws that he made in the first corner, that skinny post early on that got him right down to the near the goal line, and then they ended up scoring a couple plays later. You know, those are good throws. I think he's an accurate quarterback. He's a good quarterback. But the turnovers cost him in that game. And sometimes that happens in week one things. You're not used to things are being completely full speed. It's going to be a different thing than there is in practice. It's not going to be, you know, you're not going against the scout team and stuff anymore. So I think there'll be some improvement from week one to week two, even though obviously Kansas State is probably a better football team.
Yeah, no, I think that's true. Kansas State clearly is. 15.5 was what they opened at. Kansas State now a 12-point favorite over the Cyclones. A lot of questions. I've gotten this from fans. So Tom Farniok goes down, and basically – the offense collapsed at that point. They still scored, you know, their two touchdowns without Quentin Bundridge, their best wide receiver in the game. He's of course out for the season with a torn ACL. But from your playing perspective, if a fan is having a really hard time understanding the center thing, because that and to be honest with you, that's where I'm at, Sage. I watched that game, and I go, okay, I can see how there would be a drop off when you lose your starting center. There should be a drop off. But they looked like a completely different offense without him in the game. How does one guy affect things that much from your perspective?
Well, you know, people talk with the offensive line with those five guys. A lot of times people talk about the left tackle being the most important guy because he protects the quarterback's blind side. But I always really felt the center is the critical guy because he really sort of sets the table for everybody else. And And I don't know how the, I'm not the young guy who came and played behind Farniak, but the center, he's the one who makes all the calls from, where the whole line is working to from the linebacker perspective. And obviously he's snapping the ball and usually the starting guy is usually the best that he's getting the most reps and those types of things. So it can sort of throw the whole offense off a little bit when there's a new guy in there. I know I always, was a little bit of unsure myself when I, my starting center went down and I had to get the backup guy to come in because he's the guy that I wasn't really quite used to or comfortable with. And that can sort of throw you off, from everything after that. So, hopefully, Farniak, plays this week or Sam will have a better feel for the next guy that goes in there. But, losing the center, I think, can be probably of all the offensive line positions can be the most detrimental to an offense.
I've kind of been saying the only hope I think Iowa State fans, and this sounds a little harsh, but I think you have to hope that North Dakota State's just a really good team. And, they're the FCS champs 3 years running, but I think you have to hope that team is better than three or four other teams that you're playing this year. And I don't know if that's the case or not. What did you take from that team? Did that look like an FCS team to you? What kind of a read did you have on that opponent?
No, they look to me like a really solid, Big 12 team.
Really?
Wow. When I was at Iowa State, we played Northern Iowa, and I've seen enough guys, NFL guys, come from the smaller schools, from the old 1AA, as I still like to call it, or even the Division II type players. And they definitely had a few NFL type guys on the team. They weren't a big team. They had some guys out there that were a little bit smaller and secondary and different things. Their line wasn't huge and monstrous, but one, they were extremely well coached. You could really tell that from the get-go. They know the ins and outs of that offense, of that defense. And you can tell even though there's a new head coach, those players have worked together. They have a really high expectations for themselves. I heard somebody say on the radio, I think it might have been you guys discussing it after the game, Iowa State was probably having a tough year last year. They're probably hoping to win that football game. And I think North Dakota State was absolutely expecting to win that football game. And you could sort of sense the difference out there when you watched the game.
Yeah, no, I think that Jack Whitford is the one who pointed that out, and it looked very clear that was the case for me. So from an Iowa State standpoint, you're a Cyclone fan, just like everybody listening to this. What can you hope for on Saturday? Because Kansas State's a good team. They're a top 20 football team. They're one of the most well-coached teams in the Big 12 year in, year out. I think expecting a win, obviously, after what we saw last week is too much. But do you think that Iowa State bounces back and keeps this thing competitive? Or, I'll be honest with you. I like Kansas State by like three touchdowns. I really do. I think that they just continue to go after Iowa State's defense and they're just going to pound that thing. And the only way Iowa State to me has a prayer is if that offense is consistently like the one we saw in the first quarter on Saturday. And frankly, I haven't seen enough consistency, through one game. I haven't seen enough to predict that that's going to happen. But how do you see that game unfolding on Saturday?
Well, I think as an Iowa State fan, which I most definitely am, I expect them to win every week, or I hope that they win every week. And, I will say one thing about Paul Rose's teams. I played with Dan McCarney for all those years, 5 years there, and we generally beat the teams that we were supposed to beat, and we generally lost the teams that we were sort of supposed to lose to.
Yeah.
Sort of until my senior year, we started sort of knocking off some teams that, others maybe thought were better than us. But, one thing about the Paul Rose there is he's lost some games that maybe we all expected them to win, but he's also beaten some teams and surprised some people and had some nice upsets of some ranked opponents. And so I will say that, there's a general consensus that coaches and players have always talked about that a lot of times there's a vast improvement from week one to week two of a college season, of an NFL season. All those guys that were redshirt freshmen or true freshmen or even seniors that are gone out there, and it's sort of the first time in live action for about 9 months, and a lot of times you see a nice improvement from week one to week two, a big jump there. And if Iowa State makes a nice jump, I think they'll have a chance in the game, but they're going to have to play better. Defensively is obviously the huge question mark. They're going to have to really stop the run and find a way to stop the run, because Kansas State has always been one of the best running football teams in the country, if not just the Big 12 Conference. And their offense is going to have to play great. They're going to have to score some points and not turn the ball over like they did on Saturday.
Sage, we appreciate your time. Thanks, man. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Okay, Chris, thanks for having me on.
Sage Rosenfels, at Sage Rosenfels 18 on Twitter. Footballbyfootball.com is his new website where you can read analysis on your favorite sport. It's NFL heavy, but it is NFL season obviously kicking off this Saturday. Excuse me, this Thursday. I forgot they play on Thursdays. Yeah, man, I got to go get my fantasy team ready. But nonetheless, it's good to have Sage Rosenfels on the podcast. He's going to be a regular this season, if you can't tell by now, on the Mr. V Clothing podcast. Matt Van Winkle, who's been producing today's program. What's up, man?
What's up?
How are you?
Pretty good.
You seem like you're a little bit more chipper than a lot of Iowa State folks are today.
I was at the game, actually.
You actually went and sat in the stands, right?
It was the first time for me sitting in the stands since I was in high school.
Yeah, how'd that go for you?
Well, I guess I was there as a college student, but I was in the student section. It's different. You know, as I was as a college graduate,
yeah,
sitting in the stands. To be honest, I was a little bit disappointed. I'll say after that first quarter, I was very impressed. Just like you were talking with Sage, I thought the offense seemed to be really moving.
Well, it was fun there for a while.
It was really fun.
Yeah.
It was very loud. I thought it could have been louder. There was a lot of North Dakota State fans there.
That's what my wife said. So we don't, our family, we don't have tickets because my wife works on Saturdays and I'm always working. So she doesn't get tickets or anything like that. And she just happened to get a couple of hillsides for that game. And she was, her and her mom or sister or something were sitting right in that North Dakota State section. Mm-hmm. And apparently those Bison fans were rowdy.
They were
just nuts. I guess they were just insanely loud.
Well,
and we can't tell in the press box. You miss everything up there because it's all enclosed and everything.
Yeah.
But man, they were having a good time. I was at Ames on Friday night and they were going nuts.
I guess they really travel well.
Yeah.
Apparently. I had a couple NDSU fans that stayed with me the night before and we went and tailgated, not with them, but with a couple other friends that were in the NDSU lots there. And it was packed. They brought RVs and everything.
Yeah.
They went all out.
Yeah.
So.
Well, they love their football, rightfully so. They've won three straight titles. Coming up tomorrow night, the Cyclone Fanatic radio show presented by Nebraska Furniture Mart and Clive. Brent Bloom and I will broadcast from Benchwarmers in Ankeny from 6 to 7 on 1460 KXNL. We have a lot more pre-Kansas State content to get to, obviously. Matt, have you downloaded our new app?
I have.
The iPhone app?
I love it.
What do you think about it?
It's got everything you need right in the palm of your hand. It's just like if you were looking at the site on your computer, it takes you to the exact same things. You can post on the forums. You can read articles. You can listen to the podcast. It's a continuing radio station we've got going on there, so you can listen to, recent podcasts, old podcasts.
You know what? We actually switched that, Maddie.
Do you?
I changed it. I made an executive decision.
Ooh.
I like the concept of that, but I think it's more handy for our listeners to
pick and choose.
To be able to pick and choose, yeah.
Okay.
So there you go.
Well, so you can, if you want to go back and listen to last week's podcast.
Yeah. Yep. That's the scenario.
You can. Yep.
Yeah. But no, go to the iTunes store, click on, just search Cyclone Fanatic and our app should pop up. A lot of questions. The Android app is coming. So when you're creating an app, and frankly, it's kind of a pain for a site like us that is ad revenue driven to have an app because it takes away from our revenue. Like we've literally, when we create an app, we're losing money.
But we've got a great sponsor.
Matt, you've been around me long enough, buddy. We're going to pub the sponsor. Agrigold Hybrids is the reason why we can have an app.
Yeah.
So the whole app is.
And I know we played around with an app before, and it was just kind of what it was a long time ago, doesn't it?
This one's four years ago,
and we've stepped it up, and it looks 10 times better, and it looks really clean, and there's a lot to see and a lot to do on it. So if you're
be patient, it'll continue to get better. We're gonna add schedules, add rosters, we're gonna do all that, but it's kind of a deal where you just kind of add to it as you go.
It's still growing, just like the podcasts are, and you can still listen to the podcast on iTunes. Don't think that's the
that's the kind of how it's set up through the app is through iTunes. So
we
thank you. We had a ton of downloads for the first week, so I want to keep promoting that. I think a lot of people don't get it. Again, the Android app is coming though, because it's a deal where you got to work with Apple is a pain, and you got to go through that process. But we'll have the Android one here before you know it. All right, I think that I'm good. You got anything else, Matt?
I'm good.
You got anything to add? All right,
Farmageddon.
Farmageddon coming up on on Saturday, 11 o'clock. We'll have the Wilson Toyota of Ames pregame show bright and early from at 8 o'clock from Jack Trice Stadium. Tron Smith from Wilson Toyota of Ames will be my co-host for that bad boy. Radio tomorrow night. Thanks for listening. Thanks to Trey Scott now from the 24/7 site at the University of Texas. And, of course, Sage Rosenfels, former Cyclone NFL quarterback, now publishing Football by Football.com. Thanks to you, Matt. We appreciate your help as always. We'll be back. We'll have a podcast for the Thursday night radio show. Probably have another one on Friday. Won't make any promises, but that's the plan at this point in time to preview the college football weekend. So long, everybody.